AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are here. It's almost a new year for the podcast. Working on almost year two, the end of year one. We got big things to talk about. We are on not only finale of the NFL season, we are working on what we like to call our road to WrestleMania. I know these guys are happy. Scotty, we're sorry this week. You've been outvoted. We're talking some wrestling. We're talking some Vince McMahon. We're talking about all things and maybe some other things. So before we get going, let's talk Kyle Weathers passing. Apollo Creed, my favorite Rocky villain out of all the Rocky villains. Rocky II is one of my favorite sports movies of all time. The ending, fantastic. Yo, Adrian, I did it. Kyle Weathers, fantastic in that. Chubbs from Happy Gilmore. Most recently, Brad, Mandalorian. Kyle Weathers was supposed to come to a Comic-Con in Boston recently, and he, I believe his last post social media-wise was saying that he couldn't make it for whatever reason. So, Tom, a little quick deep dive on Kyle Weathers. Have they announced why he passed?
All I've said is that he died peacefully in his sleep.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Nope. What a loss, though. Predator, right? He was in Predator also?
Yeah. Dylan. I mean, that was Dylan. Huge, you know? Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, Dylan, that's right. You son of a bitch. They slapped
hands. There you go, yeah.
Yeah, it's
And I don't know if anybody read the quote about what John Madden said about years ago. John Madden, when he played for the Raiders, Andy, that should hit you right there. I believe he played in 1970, 1971. And he said, and I quote, "You're too sensitive."
Wow. Yeah. War number 49 for the Raiders. Somewhere in my plethora of collection, I believe I have a Kyle Weathers Raiders card that I don't know how I got it, but I must have bought it somewhere and held on to it. Yeah, what a loss for our age demographic. Stallone put out a really sentimental post. I don't know if you guys saw it. The last time they were together on set was that, you owe me one favor, and it was that last, fight that they had where it went off camera at the end of, I believe, Rocky III, where that happened. So, what a loss. So, you guys want to add anything about Kyle Weathers before we move on to the email segment?
I mean, let's be real. We wouldn't even have the Rocky movies. We wouldn't even have the franchise without Kyle Weathers. It wouldn't have been anywhere near as good. And then they made those sequel trilogy Creed movies where Kyle Weathers didn't really have a big part in those. It's about his son, but the legacy of Kyle Weathers, even in those three movies, if you haven't seen those new Creed movies, they are surprisingly good. Okay, if you enjoy the original Rocky movies, they are surprisingly good. So we'll probably have them on repeat tomorrow.
Yeah, they usually show them in order. Sometimes you can catch a weekend where they show like all the Rocky movies and those kind of like in a chronological order. So we're going to move on and real, real special email segment this week. Ed, you want to lead us in?
Well, first and foremost, this is brought to you by GoonGuard.com. GoonGuard.com. Check them out. Check them out. Andy's got them up. Brad's got the shirt. I'm supporting with the hockey today. Look, less than 10 seconds in the microwave, set up in your mouth, easy to talk with, that type of thing. Use the promo code 1973. Hey, guess what? Promo code 1973. Today we are going to talk about, we actually have a female fan. Can you believe it? Can you dig it? I mean, good thing all five of us are sitting down. Can you believe it?
And it's not one of our mothers.
Even though my mother does watch and she does chirp the shit out of me when she sees me, like, what the hell are you guys doing? But we'll digress. That's a whole nother story. If anybody knows my mother, she chirps just as good as me sometimes. So
maybe sometimes better.
Sometimes better, depending on how long it's been since she's seen you. What, you don't call? What? Yeah, you forgot about the lady that raised you, all that other BS. We'll zip it on that.
It's kind of like, one of the last times I saw it was like, good to see you. Haven't seen you in like 5 years.
Yeah, where you live in Texas?
Where you live in, yeah. Anyway, so DG_8113, thank you so much for buying the shirt. I mean, she put her money where her mouth is. I mean, you can't ask that. She gives us she talks about us on YouTube. I mean, you can't ask for a better fan than that. I mean, she shouted out on Instagram. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, we actually have a real female fan. It's wonderful. Guess what, Tom? She bought your shirt, Tom. Tom, can you believe? I mean, Tom, you should be more pumped up about
that. That makes one.
What?
So that makes one person.
That's one more than we had last week, guys. Come on. I mean, seriously. I mean, you guys got to be excited about this. I mean, you know, we're actually, you know, we can actually go like, instead of couch fishing, we're actually going for the coins on top of the couch now.
So let me add to this and then I'll kick it to the other guys. Very cool. Very social media savvy with the post. Tagged the 1973 podcast, sporting the shirt, sporting the guys. It's something that we've never gotten really something away from an email. This is the very first time we've gotten a social media post. All the people that we've dealt with, nobody's really flown our flag. So not only is it the first time that we've had somebody fly our flag for us, they've also, it's been a female. So that's two positives. And Brad, Chris, Tom, you want to add to it?
Yeah, GG, mamacita, mira, llámame, okay? Nah, just kidding. Maybe I'll take you out for lunch right here in my brand new Pizza Hut that I just bought, you know? No, all kidding aside, we appreciate the swag purchase, first of all, right? That's always a good thing. And just to get a fan on the other end of what we do, like, you know, to see a fan, a female fan on the sports, podcast, and it's awesome to see, and, you know, we like their opinion. That's why we've had Nikki on. So it's cool. It's cool to see that she's sporting our swag and liking the podcast. Thank you very much, Gigi.
Brad?
Yeah, man. I think it's just really cool. I always forget that, you know, our podcast goes out to people besides us. So when I see like a fan or we get an email and it's like nationwide or we had one from Ireland, right? An email?
Yeah, worldwide, man. Worldwide.
Yeah. Mr. Worldwide. So like, I think it's just neat that, you know, what's kind of like our weekly hobby of, shit talking and shit posting. And then, you know, we have a legitimate fan base buying swag and tagging us on Instagram. That's a pretty monumental.
Thomas, want to add anything to it?
Yeah, now I'm going to challenge the tens and tens of viewers we have to start posting stuff like this. If you don't have a shirt, buy a shirt, a hat. Even if you don't have any of that stuff, just if you're on YouTube, take a picture, a snapshot of our little promo that we have up there, the little picture promo, and put it online and tag us in it. We'd love to see it.
Now, Chris, before we move away from the email, do you want to add to how you feel that people could kind of promote us as far as like on social media, like adding to what Tom was talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of different ways, right? Facebook. I'm big on the TikTok thing right now. I've been kind of running with that, you know. I posted something. Actually, I took a picture while we were doing the podcast the other day, and I'm putting that out there with a couple of hashtags, you know, hoping it gets out there and people can see it. You know, this nowadays with social media, there's social media that I don't even use, like X and, you know, whatever, you know, Twitter, whatever it's called now. So, like, there's so much crap out there, man. Just please, whatever you guys can do, get it out. Help us out. It would be great.
Yeah, and Chris finally made the best ofs. I just put out some new best of clips, and I just, I think I put a best of episode 10 where Chris joined us. And, yeah, we've got some more clips coming. I like to throw them out there every now and then, chum the waters a little bit, keep everybody on the hook, and, you know, so we get a new episode out there on the weekend. So, thank you so much, ladies. Please keep posting. We're not going to post the pictures to protect the guilty, but, you know, we will, you know, enjoy the post, and we will definitely mention you and keep them coming. So, Brad, we are on the road to WrestleMania. So, are we going to touch base on our boy Cody's journey, The Rock coming back, or are we going to do this deep dive into Vincent Kennedy McMahon? Your thoughts?
I think they're both intertwined, though. Like, if we're going to talk about one, we got to talk about the other.
Sure.
So, first of all, it's a little odd that all this goes down with Vince McMahon and The Rock comes in to be hired on to TKO. Like, the conspiracy theorist in me is like, the timing lines up so well. His daughter gets posted up and is the GM in NXT. First of all, horrible mic skills. Horrible. I mean, the only way she has a job is because of who her daddy is. But all this, you know, rolls up, and then we're watching SmackDown last night, and then The Rock comes out, you know, to say he's going to take on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and you could just see the heartbreak and the crushing anguish on Cody Rhodes. But he's a team player, so, like, he was down with it. But, man, it instantly reminded me of the CM Punk pipe bomb, and he's talking about the guys that are schmoozing and getting what they want. And I was like, damn, is The Rock that guy now? Like, is he doing this to folks?
I don't know.
Like, there's and there what I read online today was like this whole push with The Rock was because one, CM Punk got injured, which understandable. But two, they're trying to get the spotlight off of the situation with this alleged Vince McMahon situation. But what they wound up doing was stirring the pot.
Right.
When they posted this to YouTube, it was the most downvoted, disliked post in WWE history.
Right. Right.
But what are they doing?
There's been so many memes this week with the thing about Triple H giving him the Sada suit back and said, it's, you know, funny stuff. Very funny stuff.
I saw that.
Before we go any further, I want Ed to do a disclaimer for us like he always does. Ed, what do you got?
Look, this is all allegedly on what we talk about. This is
for entertainment purposes only.
This is for entertainment purposes only. This is all opinion. This is not to be taken seriously. And honestly, this is just one of those things where everything that we talk about is all allegedly. And this is not something that we are looking to create controversy. We're just talking about what we've read on media outlets. And we are pulling facts from what we've read from multiple media outlets on everything that we talk about tonight, whether it be Vince McMahon, whether it be about the junior team in Canada. So we are treading very, very lightly on this. We are taking these are very serious allegations, and we just want to have a very open and frank discussion about this. And we do not want to have any legal repercussions from this, because we're just a bunch of friends that we are just discussing about stuff that we are passionate about, whether it be wrestling, hockey, and just general life stuff. This is not meant to be serious, but for the five of us, wrestling, we all grew up with it, and it's something that we all have a huge passion for. So this is everything that we say is all allegedly, and we are taking this very seriously, because this is a very serious, serious allegations for everybody involved.
So as far as the media goes, Tom, am I correct by saying that it is become a federal investigation?
Yes, they are. The federal investigators have interviewed the girl. I won't say her name, but right. The girl, and few other people involved in it already, I guess, and a few other females that, I guess, from back when, originally when Vince McMahon had left WWE, I guess this is
allegedly.
Yes, allegedly, and they're all tied in, and I guess the feds are trying to tie it all up into a big bow, I guess.
So there's two ways I can hit this. One, I'm going to start with, do you remember back around Christmas time, Jericho's alleged allegations came up about him having groomed girls or a girl that left AEW. And it seems like this is a pattern going forward with a new movement with, let's say, sports entertainment and Hockey Canada.
Allegedly.
So that's kind of what started this whole thing rolling. But rewinding back a little further, right before the merger, they had let Vince McMahon come back to do the merger. Now, if these things were known and they had him come back to do the merger where he had left abruptly before that, now there's a more, you know, to the story. This story is very, very layered, and it's going to lead to a lot more things coming out, which if you rewind back, what I found ironic about the whole thing is the ascension of the WWF started when Hulk Hogan beat the Sheik. Follow me on this, because it's kind of crazy. When Hogan beat the Sheik, it was January 24th of 1984. That's what started Hulkamania that night. This was dropped on January 24th, 2024. 40 years to the day of the Hulkamania win. So it's like the irony in it is Vince had a 40-year untouchable run of the whole empire. And isn't it kind of crazy how it just worked to the day? It's almost like it was all like pre-planned out. I mean, you can't write it better than that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just nuts. So the whole Vince McMahon taking over for his father, he bought his father out with money that was in the WWF at the time. So he actually bought his father out of the picture when he was actually physically ill. Vince Sr. was coming down with cancer. It was 82 into 83. The first thing that really happened going into 83 when Vince really owned it was Jimmy Snuka was on top. The alleged Jimmy Snuka incident that was covered on Dark Side of the Ring with, was there an alleged cover-up? Were the police allegedly bought? So right from Jump Street, there's been stuff, allegedly, that's been going on. Now, fast forward from those two bullet points, in the late 80s, there was I think it was on Phil Donahue or one of those shows, with the Ring Boys scandal. You guys all know about that, yep. Brad? We were talking about that. So I'm going to bring up bullet points and then we'll hit them all back again. Then in the early 90s, there was the steroid scandal with the federal indictment on the steroid trafficking. When that WBF was right, World Bodybuilding Federation, around that time with Lex Luger and all that stuff, Hogan came back into the picture. They called a bunch of guys to the stand. A lot of people, you know, tiptoed around that. Then right before, about a week or two before this, Kevin Dunn retires out of the blue, who had been with Vince right from the early to mid-80s with Coliseum Home Video. He's been with Vince all this time doing all the production, but he retired a week before all these alleged allegations came out. The only thing that I don't know if you guys will agree with me on this. Who knows what and who is going to say what? Because if you don't know and you can't say, but you can say, and then there's perjury, there's no, it's not like 92 where you're going to be held accountable when you go back to work. Now, there's no accountability for saying what you got to say. Nobody's going to come after you. What do you think? Brad, Chris, chime in.
Chris, you go first.
I mean, all I had to say about this Vince thing was I was completely shocked, obviously. I mean, he's got the money. He's going to do whatever he's going to do. But, like, I think the first thing that came to mind for me was this dude can never show his face again on a WWE product, episode, show, whatever it may be, which is just shocking. I mean, I was one of those guys at Raw, and I was doing the whole bow down when he would come out to the, you know what I mean? And it, I know you're not a Vince fan, but I always was, you know. I think, like, just his persona, his character, again, I grew up in that Attitude Era, so he was a big part of it. So it just shocking for me knowing, and all these text messages that came out, and, like, you read them, you're like, holy shit. Like, I mean, this stuff's pretty legit, you know. So pretty crazy about that. One thing I want to touch on The Rock real quick about him jumping the line. This guy, I'm not the biggest Cody fan, okay? But again, The Rock, go back to your movie studio, all right? I'm going to turn this belt sideways, Rock, and I'm going to stick it up his Rudy Poo candy ass in a minute if you don't get off WWE TV. Go back to doing what you were doing, Rock. Let the professionals do it. You're a has-been, buddy. Sorry.
Hey, here's, I'm going to add a little comedic side of it. You got The Rock with Oprah, you know, talking about saving Hawaii. And then you go to Stone Cold's Instagram and he's floating around his ranch, Broken Skull, with his cat poncho, getting all kinds of likes from that. It's hilarious to see Stone Cold hanging out with these two cats, Lefty and Poncho. It's great. It's like two total opposites. Like, one guy's all about the limelight. The other guy's like, call me if you need me. I'll be doing my cold plunges with my cats. It's awesome. But Brad, what do you think about this whole thing with the text messages and all that deal?
I mean, have y'all read the text messages? I'm gonna save them for myself. I don't want Mama AC to have to hear that vile language. If she listens to this podcast, he seems like a deranged 13-year-old or just a super, super horny 13-year-old got a hold of his phone. I mean, just the way he was texting is like, I mean, it looked like a kid. Like, I don't know if he's suffering from CTE or like some something. His brain is just mush, the stuff he was saying. But it's really unfortunate that the way this stuff went down. But there's so many other layers. I mean, going back to the Ring Boys, and that alleged cover up there where Pat Patterson was supposedly molesting little boys. But they're saying that even Vince's wife was involved in this alleged cover up. Come back up to this one with Janelle Grant. They're saying that she knew about this too. Like, Vince even mentioned in one of the text messages, hey, my wife found out. We got to chill for a little while. So, like, there's more than, I think at the end of the day, when the dust settles, it's going to be more than Vince McMahon. They're saying Shane McMahon may or may not have known about it, which is why he kind of pulled back from the company. Well, he may not have known about Janelle Grant, but he knew of his father's depravity to the point where he was like, I don't want nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And again, I think The Rock and Triple H and Stephanie knew of this or situations similar. And I think those three probably worked together to get Vince out these last couple weeks so they could bring in The Rock and make some more power moves. But even if, you know, overlooking the Ring Boys and the thing with Janelle Grant right now, Rita Chatterton. Go Google Rita Chatterton if you don't know who that is. She was one of the first female refs in WWE. Guess what happened with her, fellas? Paid for sexual services or was supposedly paid for services or tried to be exploited. And she was basically propositioned and promised success.
Yeah.
Sounds like Janelle Grant's situation.
Yeah.
Like, Vince, this isn't a one-off thing.
It seems like a pattern. She was if you go back and look at, she was one of the first, if not the first, female referee in the WWF back in the day. So there's a lot of things. I believe there's maybe a story with Mike McGurk. You can look at her story too. She I think she has a shoot interview out where she talks about a couple of different things. But I'm more interested in all these stories and who has stories and who's repressed them and now has the voice to, or you know, to say it. The Shane thing is true. I've got to mention that in the bullet points where you know, they imagine that. Allegedly, your dad wants to bring you into this circle of stuff going on, and you're married. He was married already. I don't think he had kids yet. And you know, just imagine that. You know, like a almost like a boys club type thing, and you have to distance yourself and you know, buy me out. I'll go stop my own stuff. And so that's crazy when you look at some of the promos and some of the things that stop popping up now, and it kind of makes you wonder about, you know, the wrestling storylines. The best storylines are the ones that blend almost where believability ends and the storyline starts. Those are always the best ones. But I mean, if depravity is kind of what you're going for, I mean, Tom, I don't know if you saw this, but this is actually one of the things that popped up recently. Stephanie was on one of the WWE documentaries. She said that there were only two storylines she ever said no to. And do you know what one of them is? When she was pregnant for one of the kids, Vince came to her and said, "What about if we go on and say I was the father?" I mean, it, just think about that. If it's anybody has young children, just think about that. I mean, just put these into context. If you have children or if you've ever been close to somebody, you don't do the Shane thing. You don't do that Stephanie thing. I always thought that their relationship, even on TV, was a little, how can I put it? A little weird.
Weird.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, Tom, what do you think about this whole thing from, you know, your side of it, being a lifetime wrestling fan?
It just shows you that he's got so much power and he had so much control and so much money. He had nobody there to tell him they're all yes men. Nobody there to pull him back and tell him, or try to pull him back or say no when he, some of these things that he allegedly did, like showing emails and text messages to people in the back. And it's just shows that the more power you have and the longer you go with people doing stuff that you ask or tell them to do, I guess you just keep going because you don't expect anyone to say no. And makes you
Power
wonder,
corrupts, Thomas.
what's that?
Power corrupts.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder what would have happened if, would they have forced him, it would, what's the group, RKO or TKO? Would they
TKO.
have, would they have kind of forced him out if Slim Jim didn't back out of their sponsorship right before the SummerSlam, I mean, at Royal Rumble? Would they have actually come out and done something and kind of forced him out, or would they have just kind of swept things under the rug? And it just makes you wonder. And then talk about you when you're talking about Andy about people and what they knew. And I don't know if you remember, I don't know what season it was, but Terry Runnels was on Dark Side, and she was, she told a story about Brock Lesnar and some of the stuff he said to her. And Dustin Rhodes was his, was her ex-husband at the time, and he basically told her, "Oh, just let it go," and just pushed, I mean, just brush stuff aside. So it makes you wonder if anyone else will come forward and what else has gone on.
Yeah.
So here's the irony though. Brock Lesnar is married to Sable, who accused Vince McMahon of you know, depravity, assault, whatever. And now Brock Lesnar, he's done. Like they removed, he was supposed to be in the Rumble, replaced by Braun Breaker. They put all discounted all his merch on WWE Shop. He's removed from all future endeavors at this point until something comes out and says otherwise. But the irony of him being married to somebody who was accused Vince and now was what you know involved in this circle somehow. Like this is just wild. This is mind-blowing. And AC, you said it 40 years he's been at the helm right? And right now we're seeing this because people kept receipts because of technology. What happened before and in between? when we didn't have receipts. Like, what else is going to come out? Who else is going to be implicated besides Brock? You can't tell me Brock is the only one. There's no way.
Now, what's not to say that there's other guys over the years that he's used, allegedly, Ed, that tool to get guys to sign there. I mean, has he had people on the payroll before that are specialists with that side of things? I'll wink at the camera, negotiating contracts. Has he had people that have done that professionally? I mean, look at, I forget who had said it, but until they get Bruce Pritchard out of there, he's still like Vince's avatar for moving, manipulating behind the scenes and things like that. But if there's people that are there that have seen or been, I know Johnny Laurinaitis got caught up in this whole deal too, but what about his other confidants that have been close to him too, that he's has he brought them in too to kind of keep them, you know, as part of the we'll say the alleged club. Now the guy that's going to get off scot-free because he passed away a year or two ago is Pat Patterson. All the, you know, he was close to Vince for years. He was like his right-hand man as far as like writing stories and coming up with finishes and all that other stuff. So is they going to hold the ghost of Pat Patterson over the coals? I don't know. But, I mean, all this stuff is going to come up. And, you know, all it's going to take is one person to stand up there and tell a story. And it's going to open a floodgate. Or is John Laurinaitis going to be the guy to rat on Vince? Now, from what I'm reading, he's saying that he was part of the being a victim, too. So is John Laurinaitis going to be the guy that's going to flip on Vince just to save his own rear end? It's like a Hollywood drama right here. So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be televised. I don't know if it's going to be stuff to watch. But I know, like, as far as, you know, being a lifetime wrestling fan, it's definitely the biggest story I've seen in I don't know how long. Has there been a bigger story yet?
No, I'm just going to say it like this. I mean, so this is allegedly how I think it would play out. The thing about it is Dead Man can tell no tales, right? So the thing about it is that everybody circles the wagons, and guess who takes it all? Pat Patterson. He's dead. He can't say anything to anybody. Right? So the thing about it is that so to Andy, your point, like 40 years to the year, gee, that's such a coincidence now, isn't it? Allegedly, right? Coincidence, right? The thing about it is that, you know, like, and then just kind of talking, going back to the talking points. Well, funny story about Cody. How many times did Big Dust take it and like, no, it's about making money and like extending the story. So bottom line is that, guess what? This is all part of the big master plan about, you know, taking it down the line. Like, they brought back Rock for a reason. I mean, Rock is the, you know, the most electrifying sports performer, entertainer today, Chris. and the thing about it is just like, but it all comes back to is just that, honestly, where there's smoke, there's fire. And the bottom line is that, honestly, if I was a lawyer, which I'm clearly not, everything's getting pinned back on Pat Patterson, and that, and because the thing about it is that he's dead, and they're going to pin it all on him, and honestly, that's what good lawyers do, allegedly.
Well, the guy that he's had for years, Jeremy McDivitt, no longer his lawyer, so we'll have to see. They've broken. Imagine the stuff that guy knows. Imagine the stuff, because he's been his in-house personal attorney for years, but not now.
But yeah, here's the thing, though, it goes back to attorney-client privilege. He can't say anything.
No, I get that. I get that.
He can't say anything. So there you go.
Yeah.
So do y'all think this stuff with Jericho, you know, because I went on kind of a dive with that. No real accusations. Nobody's, other than some Reddits and some Twitter threads. There's no rock, nobody's really accusing him yet.
No.
But he has been called the Harvey Weinstein of the wrestling universe. So that's pretty accusatory.
Yeah.
But did he learn it? Because it sounds real familiar, this gatekeeping strategy. Maybe he learned that from Vince. I mean, what do y'all think? Allegedly, right?
Well, I mean, my thing with Vince is I was never a fan. I mean, he's the guy that killed my love of what pro wrestling was. And it's tough to get it back. I mean, I'm gonna tiptoe real lightly on this one, but here's a guy that allegedly might have or might not have shit in somebody's hair, but yet you won't let the guys get the blade out and have a cage match. I shouldn't be laughing. But just think about it. That's a great point, man. You got a no blood policy, which is a deterrent for me with my storytelling in wrestling. But yeah, you'll do depraved stuff like that, allegedly, if you read the stories.
And he's out here dropping number twos.
Yep. So yeah, just deuces.
Tommy. Yeah, we should ask Vince if he's a thumb in or thumb out guy. The people want to know.
Right in.
Vince is anything like me. Nobody's going to tell me how to get off, and obviously no one's going to tell him how to get off. So he's definitely got to be a thumb in guy.
Bro, nobody told him at all. He was like, hold up. Your boy got a Duke real quick, so here we go. No, y'all keep going, but I'm doing this.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm getting kind of sweaty. Let me go take a shower. I'll be right back.
It makes you wonder, man. If the deal they just reached with Netflix could be in jeopardy with everything, even though he's left. I mean, it still gives them a bad name, and they have, even though they've never been, like, a lot of this stuff hasn't been proven in the past, they've got a reputation of being a seedy place. So I'm gonna tell you,
Vince should have been canceled in the 90s after the Ring Boy scandal dropped. Like,
yeah, that
the man's a survivalist, if anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Quick question to the panel, please.
Yes,
is it serendipity that he sold to the UFC? He got rid of creative control. I would never see Vince ever getting rid of creative control ever. Is it just me, or? I just think it's like he almost knew that this was coming and they had to jump ship. No,
I think people in the know knew about this and that wanted him out. It just seems like corporate warfare. Like somebody's like, hey, we're going to leak this. We're going to get this out to the press. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to move on with this deal with TKO. We're going to move on with this deal to Netflix. We're going to move on with this. I think it was probably only leaked because it was a corporate warfare strategy, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know if Tom agrees, but when Nick Khan came in, they brought him in. I think he peeled back the layers of the onion with the budget and where money was going and things like that. And then I think a red flag, maybe somebody alerted him to it. Maybe it was somebody on the inside saying, hey, listen, maybe you should look at these payments that he's making. But allegedly, going back to what we were talking about with the territories, he was allegedly, well, this is probably public knowledge that when he bought the Calgary territory, Stu Hart's territory, and the LaBelle's territory, which was the NWA in Los Angeles, when he bought those two territories, he had agreed on money. And then into the payments, he just stopped paying. And allegedly, this is where the payments came in, that he had people on the payroll that he was paying, say, X amount of money. And he stopped the payments, not even paying out in full. So, I mean, there is a track record of nobody's going to tell me what to do kind of thing. So, the plot thickens. I think that as for me, the devil's, kind of getting his due right now. So, I mean, I'm worried for the point of, like, say, Triple H. Did he not know all this stuff was going on? He's in the family. Did Shane not know this is going on? Did Stephanie not? Are all the people that have kind of, as long as he's not bothering me, it's okay? Mm-hmm. Are they on the hot seat too? Is that some with the way companies are run now? Do you let them stay when you call them to the witness stand? Are they going to be telling 100% truth? What do you think? If you got Stephanie on the witness stand, do you think she's going to throw her father under the bus? Mm. What do you think, Tom? Do you think she would do that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, she could plead the fifth for all we know. I don't really know. I don't really know what to say on that one. I mean, that's a tough question. That's something that she'll have to wrestle with. And
I like that. I like what you did there. Right? I like that. Good one, Tom. Anything more to add this week on that, or do you think we should move on to other things?
I've got one thing, but it's not about that. It's actually about Roman Reigns and The Rock. If they're not careful, they're going to have what happened in the Brock Lesnar-Goldberg match in WrestleMania a few years ago, where the crowd turned on them and booed throughout the whole match. And, I mean, The Rock is really good on the mic, so he could probably turn it around. But they're in that territory right now where the fans, like Brad said, it's the most disliked clip in WWE history online. I mean, so they have to be careful with that.
See, I'm going to tell you. Goes back
to the point of last week. So this goes back to Andy's point of last week. It gets you right up to that edge. It gets you to question everything. It touches that nerve right there. So guess what? The funny thing is that you bring The Rock back, and like with Cody and all the things that his family's done in wrestling, because Big Dust was all about, oh, you want to pay me this? Okay, fine. I'll do it. Whatever you want, man. If this is what's going to make us the most amount of money, I'll do it. So guess what? I have a funny feeling this is all part of the plan. Brad, sorry to cut you off, man. I'm sorry about that, man.
No. I was going to say, to Tom's point, though, when The Rock came out, they did their whole spiel and they hugged it, and Rock said something nice to Cody's ear, and Cody left. He looked like he's going to cry. As Cody left, he walked out on The Rock's entrance song. Like, they kept it playing, right, strategically, because if the people in the crowd had the same reaction I had at home, yeah, first of all, super excited The Rock was out. I saw a Facebook post that said he was spotted in a gym in Birmingham. So I was like, there's no way he's not going to come out again on SmackDown. And then he did, and I was super stoked. And then he started talking, and then Cody left. And I was like, no, stop, don't do this. But they played him out to The Rock's music, and it was so loud. I think if they had not done that, people probably would have started booing right there in the crowd.
It touched that visceral reaction that they want. And I think that's great. That's great theater right there, you know?
This is either going to go down as like a complete bust, or Triple H just pulled one of the best moves in booking that we've seen in the last, you know, 3 years.
I think good old Paul, I think he knows what he's doing.
I'm excited either way.
Okay, so a couple things I want to touch on with that is, so the Roman Reigns thing, the long-term storytelling, I think to Ed's point, and with the way people are now with instant gratification, I think the longer it takes for Roman to lose that belt, the more it pushes people's buttons, because people want instant gratification. Yeah. So any long-term storytelling rubs people the wrong way when it's done right. So that I love. I fully love that. It gets us talking, right? It got Chris going with The Rock coming back.
And so you're picked by a Pizza Hut. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so yeah. It's working. So let me talk about the Cody thing. So when Cody was on Stone Cold's podcast, he has the Winged Eagle title belt hanging with the Smoking Skull title. And he said it's all about that one right there. That's the one. And he pointed to the Winged Eagle. He says it's in his, it's his favorite belt, in his opinion. The look of it, what it means, that's his favorite belt. What I would do, he has fantasy booking. You ready, Ed? Ready? You love these.
I'm ready. I'm buckling in. Come on.
So he beats Rollins, right? Eventually, he works to winning that one champion, combine all three belts into one, bring back the Winged Eagle, one champion, but two shows. It goes to my point, one champion, one Stanley Cup, one Lombardi Trophy. There should only be one. There shouldn't be two. The champion should be like a traveling champion going between two shows. That's the grind. You're the big dog. Yep. No pun intended with Roman Reigns. But you're the big guy. You're the heavyweight champion. There's no more territories, but you got to appear on both shows. Whether you're wrestling.
Make money, man.
Yep. It should be one champion going back and forth between the two.
That's right.
In one roster. No more double rosters. One roster.
I agree.
You want to keep the IC. Keep the IC title on one show, I'm good with that, and the US title on the other one, that's fine. But one champion going between two shows, get fellas, prove me wrong.
No, that I've read that somewhere that could possibly be something that the riders are going for or whatever. So I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, if you want to talk in a sports based, if you want to bring wrestling back,
blow bill.
Yes. Not just that, but you got to tell the story like all those guys are in it for a championship. Like everybody is in it to be number one. It's like that in pro sports. So it should be blended into the storytelling with the wrestling. Why are you here? You're here to, just eat an apple and spit it in somebody's face? That's what makes you money? No, it should be about winning matches to be the guy, right? That's why they all go through the grind of coming up through NXT.
But it goes back to like when Hogan was the champion in WWF, back when it was WWF days, and like they were all pushing to get him, and they could get him to wrestle two, three guys at this, and like they'd kind of like bounce him around, right? And so that's what made him such a great champion. That's what got him so over, right? Am I wrong? I mean, that's the thing about this. And like to go back, Andy, to your point about Flair, like to use Flair as an example, Flair traveled. He did everything. He deserves the title as like, what, 17 times?
16.
Right?
16.
Anyway, I was off by one. All right.
Tom, 16, but, right?
What?
Just getting a confirmation from the professor.
But my point being is that like if you bring back some of these older things from days in the past,
nobody would know it, Ed. You could steal all point. That stuff and nobody
that's
would know
point.
It.
That's my point right there. Nobody would remember it because they don't understand the slow build anymore.
Right, right. Well, the formula used to be with the WWF versus the NWA. The NWA always had a heel champion because they were the guy that came in and skated at the end they would come in for a week, put your biggest baby face over for a chase. And then at the end, he just didn't have enough, but it left the baby face after the champion left as even hotter because it was always in the chase. The money was in the chase, but the WWF was always opposite. Feed the champion. They would have heels come in and then Hogan who was great for that? Like Bruno. They bring in guys for Bruno, bring in guys for Backlund. They come in for 3 months. It'd be three Madison Square Garden shows. Boom, boom, boom. And then at the end, the blow off, Bruno would beat him or Backlund would beat him. That's why everybody hated Bob Backlund when we were kids, because you couldn't understand why they bring in these monster heels and nobody would ever beat the guy. And it was like he was so wishy-washy. But the formula also back then is you had to have the belt on somebody that legitimately you couldn't take the belt off of in a shoot. You know what I mean? Like take Harley Race, he would go everywhere. There was no way somebody was double crossing him and get the belt.
No, off. Flair talked about like he's actually popped guys' eyes out of their skull. Because that's what Harley Race was.
Yeah.
He's a legit dude, man.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why they put the belt on Backlund, because they wanted somebody, whether you liked him or you didn't, that nobody could double cross in the ring. Oh, I'm just going to hold this guy's shoulders down and win the belt on an MSG show. No, didn't work like that. So wrestling's changed. I guess
I think it's time to switch subjects, Andy.
Yep. And with that being said, Thomas, Ed, we got some special things this week. We've been talking to our buddy Joe, our new friend Joe, I'd like to say. And Ed and Tom, bring us in. Ed, lead us into the interview.
Alrighty, yeah. Tom Shady Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. The brewery is home to a banquet hall, an on-site restaurant, and a members-only lounge. Everything they brew is done in-house, including sours, lagers, and their vodka soda. They have something for everyone, so if you're in Whitby, go check them out and tell them 1973 Podcast sent you.
Ed?
All right. Here we go. Joe Lyons. Massachusetts, great guy. I went to college with him. Andy, what's the name of his company?
It's 350 Spin.
Well, there spin we go.
Spin 350.
Spin 350. Spin 350. Come on. It's Joe Lyons. For all my people that went to Bridgewater State, it was DJ Snoyle. Great guy. Man, he's done some really great stuff in Boston and nationally. We had the honor to talk, Andy and I and Chris had the honor to talk to him for what, almost 60 minutes. Just great human being. Talked all about what he did for his company. Just, man, I was so glad to have him. I was so happy to have him on. So great to reconnect with him. So, Andy, we're going to roll it from here. Andy, we're going to kick it to you.
We're going to drop it in right here. So, with that being said, I want to talk a little bit of Team Canada, Thomas.
Yeah, we can if you want.
Okay, just a little sprinkle. Five guys on the hot seat, right?
Yep.
Allegedly.
Yeah, they're all charged. Allegedly, they're all charged this week. They are on different aspects of the case going on, and we'll know more tomorrow, Monday, because London, Ontario police are having a press conference, and it's also expected that the NHL will come out with a statement of their own. But it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Quick little things here and there that I've seen is they don't know what's going to happen with the guys, if they're just going to release them, you know, from their contracts and kind of let them kind of swim for themselves. Kind of, once again, Flyers goaltending, you know, how that goes. Pelle Lindbergh situation, can't get it done right. You know, it's a sad state of affairs when this stuff happens. And, you know, if there's got to be more to the story than just the obvious. And I just think that one of the things that I read, and it's kind of, I hope it's not true, but every year when you, Chris will know what I'm talking about, every year when you sign up to play hockey, you have to register with USA Hockey, and there's a fee to be part of USA Hockey. Correct, Chris?
Yep.
Okay, so you register your child, and there's a fee. They give you a number that you have for ID for registering for different teams and whatever. Hockey Canada does that too. So supposedly some of the money that was given towards the settlement was paid for by the money that the parents had put in for their kids to play Hockey Canada. So I hope that's not true. I hope that's not where the money came from for certain things, because that's not at the core what it's for. So that kind of made me a little bummed when I heard that that the money had come out of that, let's say, pool. So, you know, there's more to it than meets the eye. And, you know, it's always sad when, you know, these things come out. But now, like Brad said, there's a lot more carbon footprint with social media and things that get recorded. And I'm just glad that I grew up in a time where things weren't so recorded. Right, Ed?
I agree. You know, I'm going to take it from here. And
go ahead.
So I'm just going to go on like what I've read about the situation. So this happened back in 2018. Okay. And I want to say this first and foremost, like, look, whatever happened, it really is a terrible situation, okay? And there's really no winners here, okay? And the thing about it is just that is you know, first and foremost, there was a settlement that did happen out of court. We're talking about young men and one young woman. No matter what happened, it was a terrible situation, and there's no easy way out of this. And the thing about this is that my biggest problem is that here we are now, we're 6 years later, and we're diving back into this. And, you know, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, and Hockey Canada has not exactly been known, allegedly, to be transparent about how they handle things. You know, and I will say this, the Sheldon Kennedy incident, that, like, so, I mean, so we already have precedent here of how Hockey Canada has handled things. And I kind of have a problem with this. And, you know, Andy, Tom, we go back to, there was an incident at you know, allegedly at a university that was close to us, at UMass Dartmouth, that kind of was like this.
Eesh.
And so it's kind of, it has that kind of same feel to it. And it just, it's ugly and it's gross and it doesn't make me feel good. Like, and the thing about it is, it's like, this is supposed to be like hockey and it's supposed to be like something that, like, when it comes to the men's side, it, like, this is something you're representing your country. From the women's side, it's the same thing. Like, women, for the women's side, it, you're representing your country and it's supposed to be great. And have like all this other kind of like disgusting kind of like mess that goes along. It doesn't make me feel good. Cause the thing about it is like, for the five of us, like, look, Chris, I don't know you as well as I know Brad, Andy, and Tom, but like sport, like, we grew up doing that. That's something that made us feel good. And what's going on right now, it doesn't make me feel good. And I don't feel like make, and I just think it's bad. And I don't think that this is what, like, youth sports, even at the elite level of juniors on what it is. Andy, Tom, we all know what, like, elite level juniors is all about. Not that the three of us ever played it, but like, they're special people, and it's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Tom, Chris, you want to take any
Chris?
Yeah, I mean, this hits home for me. It's, again, you guys know how I feel about hockey. It's the greatest sport on earth. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you disagree. You're wrong. You're wrong, baseball. Brad. I'm sorry. You're wrong. It's just such a normally classy group of guys, you know. You hear about tons of crap that happens all the time in football, basketball, baseball. These guys are always in trouble, always getting arrested for one thing or another. This is not something that really comes up in hockey much. So it's kind of a shocker to hear this going on. And yeah, was like in another country, you know, these guys celebrate whether they win a Stanley Cup. I know Canada won, and just hearing about, like, you know, allegedly she was coerced into consenting to these videos and stuff. Like, if there's videos out there and stuff, these guys are screwed, you know. And figures, it had to be a couple of flyers out there, you know. What else
one,
you expect, Andy?
One, only one.
Foot. What about Foot?
Nope, not a flyer.
Tom, what do you mean?
No. Was it
his dad, I think.
Yeah. Adam Foot. Yeah, Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
Let's get the facts straight.
If we're gonna Cal Foot, wasn't he involved in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not a flyer.
No, not a flyer. Devils.
Tom, what do you think, bro?
He's on the Devils.
Okay.
Now, Tom, what do you think about this?
It's a very sad situation. And again, it's over there, up there in Canada, those players, when they know you're really, really good, you get treated like a god up there. I mean, and
that's
unfortunately, nobody tells them no. I mean, nobody tells you no. Nobody there to play back. The one, Hockey Canada looks the worst in this because it makes it look like this is another thing where they had sponsors that were backing away for them, like big sponsors, like Scotiabank, Esso, Tim Hortons. They were backing away from Team Canada. And that's when suddenly Team Canada decided that they were going to investigate a little bit more, and the investigation opened up again. So it's just a sad situation all around.
Yeah. Just real quick to touch on it. It's not just the Sheldon Kennedy story. You talk about Theo Fleury's problems with his alcoholism. Mm-hmm. He blames a lot of it on, you know, his experiences growing up with certain coaches that he's had. And that's a sad story too. And I'm sure that there's plenty of kids that were billeted, lived with these families that have stories. You know, they're 13, 14, 15 years old, living with families that aren't theirs to follow their dreams. And I'm sure that 99% of it is all on the up and up, but I'm sure there's some horror stories there that you know would blow your mind with stuff that they've emotionally swept under the rug. So that's the sad part in the whole thing, is that the stuff comes out and it should have been addressed right then and there. It shouldn't fester and create I don't want to use the wrong term, but a PTSD or something that you stop feeling like you're the one that was wrong because you didn't say anything. Or now,
well, it's, I think it's the culture. It's a terrible culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's what it comes down to. Is that, look, I mean, Andy, Tom, I know you guys much better. I mean, like, look, what it comes down to is look, you know, winning creates winning, right? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the thing about it, is it's like, look, these cultures are, they're groomed in that type of thing. It's wrong. It's wrong, period. There's no other way to describe it. It's wrong.
Well, I can sum it up so we can end on this one. Is, if you've ever seen the movie Youngblood, great
yep.
sports movie. I know it's a hockey great movie. Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, great movie. But if you look at that movie, when he goes to the Hamilton Mustangs, what's the first thing they do to initiate him? What do?
It's a doctor scene.
Yep. They give him the old shave downstairs.
Yep.
You look at it and you're like, well, if this is part of the hazing or the team bonding or whatever, that's the 80s. Just imagine the stuff that they couldn't put in a movie. Another story we're going to have to, you know, keep going. And we got, you know, Stanley Cup's going to be starting pretty soon. We'll be talking about that. Road to WrestleMania. Super Bowl next week, right? We're all things we want to talk about. So, that doesn't have a Bruins logo on it, does it? Oh. So bad.
The Pizza Hut Stanley Cup. There you go.
Jeez.
Hey, be careful before you get no cheese and stuffed in your crust, buddy.
Andy, that's what a Stanley Cup looks like.
Hey, let me tell you something, brother. I don't need any like stuff in my crust, because the funny thing about it is that if the pizza's good enough, I don't need any stuff in my crust.
And your crust has stuff in it, so don't worry about it.
Stuff.
So,
oh my God,
Tom, you want to bring this? We'll bring this full circle. We'll talk about our friends at Purchase Street.
That's absolutely. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2, New Bedford, Mass. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com, and they also have a Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store.
Bang, bang, bang. So before we wrap this episode up, I thought it was a really good episode, a lot of deep dives. We haven't had a chance to do that. Now that we're at the longer format, it's gives everybody a little bit more chance to show their personality and absolutely give some really good insight into some talking points. So let me start this week with Chris. Chris, any shout outs before we leave this episode?
We're going to give a shout out to my little man today. All right. Tore it up on the ice. I mean, scores a goal at least every game, but today was just, he was out there just kicking ass.
Scored
a goal, made a beautiful assist from like Gretzky right behind the net, threw it out in front for a nice goal.
I want to know, is that because of the skate weights?
You know what? Let's give Power Skate the hit there on that. It's a very good possibility. He is moving his feet. He is running every other shift as a center. So we only have one other kid that does that. And he's never tired. He's
coach
hanging out.
Coach is kid.
Don't go there. Don't go there. That's not fair.
See, you.
It's deserved.
All political. It's all political with that organization. Damn it.
Oh, here he goes. Sourpuss. Knock it off.
No, seriously. Sourpuss right here.
He tore it up today. So I know he watches every episode. He deserves a little shout out. The kid makes me so proud every time he goes on that ice, just giving 100%. I love to see it. He never has a shift where he's gliding around. He's out there giving it
everything. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen him in a while, but when I run into his father, I'll give him a hug. All right.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Edward, you have the floor. Any shout outs this week? Right down here.
Well, I'm going to say this is finally the great one has come back, and I got nothing to say. All I have to say is that really, on a serious note, tonight was a very serious episode for us. We really never dived this deep. And
more to come, though,
like,
Ed. More to come.
Oh,
we got
absolutely.
We got Dark Side of the Ring coming. We got
absolutely,
all kinds
absolutely,
of stuff.
Absolutely. And I will say this. The one shout-out is to the Phantom. That was a great picture of him and his wife and the boy as the assistant captain of his hockey team. They looked very happy, and I was very happy to see that.
All right, Bradford, you have the
floor.
Wait.
The Phantom shows his face on social media?
Oh, yeah.
It's a secret.
It's a secret.
No. Bradford, take it away.
I just want to shout out one of my old Air Force buddies, Eddie. He's a huge wrestling fan. If you have a chance, look him up on Instagram. He goes by the name Cannabis Gains. When I say cannabis, you say Gains. Cannabis.
Gains.
Nobody. Okay. That's his gimmick. The dude is hilarious. He's trying to build his brand around lifting and using, you know, the Lord's spicy lettuce to get those gains. So,
devil's lettuce, baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk shit to him. He also does Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He will beat your ass. He's also pretty strong. He's a really funny guy, really big into wrestling. So I want to shout out Cannabis Gains. Look him up on Instagram. I think if we ever brought in just a wild card guest, Andy, this guy would probably be, he might be a little too much to handle.
Brad, we have an opening in the later part of February. Let's get him in here.
Yeah, I think his takes on, you know, Vince and WrestleMania and stuff would be hilarious. And most of the time when he posts his stuff, he's wearing a luchador mask. So, I mean, he's hilarious. Cannabis Gains, look him up on Insta. Give him a like and a follow. He's trying to kind of build out some stuff. So I'll give him a shout out today.
So from a guy that's Brad's been talking about that likes to tear up ass to Tom that likes to tear up ass. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I got a few, but first I want to say thanks to my sister, Lori, and my brother-in-law, Tim, my niece, Taylor, for making this badass neon sign, 1973 bar sign. It'll be up in its permanent spot soon. I just have to get the hardware for it. Second, I want to say happy birthday, 60th birthday to my brother-in-law, Tim. His birthday was this past week. Third, I want to tell the guys in my fantasy baseball pool I've been doing for 33 years. I got my first book today. So be prepared, people. I'm coming for the championship again this year. And
nice.
Fourth, AC.
I hate those books.
AC, you brought up the movie Youngblood this week in 1986. The movie was released. So it's an anniversary this week.
Nice. That's if you've never seen it, it's a great movie. It's Tea with Miss McGill, all kinds of one-liners in there, you know, all kinds of good stuff. Rob Lowe, Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves is the goalie. Yeah, there's so much good stuff. Chris, if you've never seen it, you got to watch it. Look at this. See these young guys, they don't know nothing. They're just not even on. We don't even have these guys on here for the ladies. I don't know what the hell we got these guys.
I just bought a damn Pizza Hut. You're giving me shit. I bought a Pizza Hut, dude. Where are you going to find an
Joe
old
Lions? Watch us. JoeLions.com.
Yeah.
Smile.
So we're going to wrap this up for this week, fellas.
Okay.
And then, Ed's drunk already. So, why
no,
not?
No, I know exactly.
Yeah, you're shit-faced. Later, everyone.
See you guys.